97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Brad Young sitting in today for the vacationing Annie Fry. I'll also be back next Tuesday as well. So, you know, phone the kids, wake the neighbors, let them know that I'll be sitting in again next Tuesday. But we've got another 2 hours today of news, fun, and frivolity here on the Annie Fry Show. And in the last segment, we were doing the be or not to be, whether or not the stories were Babylon Bee or not. And I found it funny because I just pulled up the Babylon Bee and these headlines, I never cease to be entertained by the Babylon Bee. Here's the headline today. Exclusive report. Inside sources say Biden is definitely either going to step down or stay in the race, but for sure one of the two. And that's, of course, that's the only two options, right? But the other question they have, and it really does pose an interesting question. We've been hearing throughout the media, there's been this drumbeat of information about Biden being the most popular president in history. Well, there's certainly no polling data to show that. I think Ronald Reagan would give him a run for his money. And certainly, historically, I think Abraham Lincoln or George Washington would certainly be up there. But we're told he's the Biden's the most popular president in history. And yet the headline is most popular president in history inundated with calls to step down. And that's the point of the Babylon Bee. It's extremely, extremely funny. One of the topics that I want to get to in this segment is the issue of student loan forgiveness. And the reason why I wanted to talk about that is twofold. First of all, yesterday, this story has not gotten the attention that it deserves. But it came out yesterday that a federal appeals court right here in St. Louis, Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, granted a request to block and to continue a block on parts of the U.S. Department of Education's debt relief plan that had not already been blocked by a lower court judge. Because last month, again right here in St. Louis, the U.S. District Court Judge John Ross blocked the Department of Education from granting any further loan forgiveness. And then the Court of Appeals yesterday blocked even more parts of the president's plan. Now, what's interesting about that technically, and then we'll talk about the policy about that in just a moment. But what I think is fascinating is yesterday, even as the Court of Appeals was announcing that this would be blocked, the Biden administration announced that they would forgive an additional $1.2 billion in student debt held by 35,000 public service workers. And if you've read any of the PR statements coming from the Biden White House about blocking debt, it's always cheered. It's always they say it with elation that they're forgiving debt. Well, let's talk about this from a policy perspective. First of all, there is no such thing as forgiveness of debt in this instance. It's not forgiven. The debt is transferred. In other words, the debt is transferred from those who incurred the debt to either one of two entities, either one, everyone in the country, or two, it's transferred to China because our national debt right now is being financed by China. Not uniformly, of course. Other countries buy our bonds and T-bills, treasury bills, but China is one of the larger buyers of that. So there's no such thing as forgiveness of debt. It's just transferring the debt from one party to another. But that really raises the policy issue that I want to talk about, because the debt is being transferred, first of all, from the person who incurred the debt, number one. So let's look at it from a fairness standpoint. Is it fair that someone who borrows their way through college and then they don't have to pay the debt, they transfer that debt onto everyone else in the country, just for discussion purposes? How fair is that? I mean, I don't get any benefit from somebody borrowing money to go through college. Nobody ever forgave my student loans. And if you're listening, because I borrowed my way through law school, I borrowed every penny. I got zero money from anyone. I borrowed and worked my way through college and through law school. And I do kind of resent it. I had to pay that back. Why shouldn't you? Not you meaning the listener, but you, the borrowers who are asking the Biden administration to forgive, so-called forgive their debts. It's not fair. Also look at it, speaking of fairness, if you look at those in America who are the most capable of paying back the debt, it is those who go to college. Every statistic shows the path to a higher income is by getting a college degree. And so if you borrow your way through college, you're now in a better position to pay off those loans. I borrowed my way through law school, and because I became an attorney, I was then able to pay off those debts. It took us a long time. It took my wife and I a long time to pay off those debts, but we did. Why? Because getting that college degree places you in an opportunity to make more money. So the people who are helping to pay off the debt of those people, of the folks who are getting their debts relieved, are people who never went to college, who are making less money. So how fair is it for somebody who's working at McDonald's, who doesn't have a college degree, but they're having money withheld from their paychecks every week to go towards paying off the debt of somebody who went to medical school or went to law school or went to graduate degree program? Where's the fairness there? Where is the fairness? You know, we hear a lot from the left that, oh, we're for the little guy. But in this instance, you're standing up for those with college degrees and higher incomes at the expense of and to the detriment of those who have no college degree, because they are being forced to pay off the student loans of people who went to college. The guy that picks up the trash at your house, who probably doesn't have a college degree, is being forced to subsidize Dr. Jones, who went and got his doctorate, his PhD, or his medical degree, and it's going to be forgiven by the Biden administration. The guy that picks up the trash has to help subsidize that debt. Where's the fairness with that? Where's the fairness? And also, where is this position of personal responsibility? You're the one who contractually agreed, and again, I say you, not you meaning the listeners, but you meaning the people who are clamoring for student debt to be so-called forgiven. Where's your personal responsibility? You signed the loan. You took out that loan. It's almost as if this. Let me put this in a slightly different context to show you the reason why I am passionately against this type of program. And here's why. What do you feel when you're driving, or you may be driving around right now listening to the Annie Fry Show? What do you think of when you see someone with an expired temp tag that's a year old? I saw one the other day from 2022, an expired temp tag, 2 years old. What goes through your mind when you see an expired temp tag? Number one, you probably get angry. And that's what I want to examine. Why do you get angry when you see an expired temp tag? I can tell you why. And most likely it involves ideas like personal responsibility. And you think to yourself, I had to pay my taxes when I bought the car, and it was expensive and it was hard, but I did it because that's what's required. But if I had to do it, if I had to really knuckle down and save money to pay the taxes on this car that I just bought so that I can get a real license plate and not drive around with a stupid temp tag on my car, if I had to do that, why can't you do that, Mr. Driver? Ms. Driver, who's driving around with a 2-year-old temp tag on your car? I had to do it. Why don't you? And so there's that sense of, I fulfilled my civic duty and responsibility. I paid my taxes. I made sure I could do that, but somebody else doesn't have to. Why not? Are you better than me? Are you more entitled than I am? You don't talk about entitlement. I mean, folks always talk about this idea of white privilege, that you somehow have a privilege because of your race. But if you're driving around with an expired temp tag, I don't care if you're white, black, any race. You're asserting that you're privileged because you don't have to pay your taxes like I did. Talk about your privilege. You're the one in the car who thinks you're better than me, and apparently you are, because I'm the moron that paid my taxes on my car when I bought it, but you don't have to. So from that perspective, isn't the student loan issue the same type of issue? I had to pay back my student loans. Why don't you? Are you privileged? Are you somehow better than I am? So that, to me, gets at that emotional heart of the problem with this debt. It also creates two other things that drive me insane, this idea of forgiveness of student loan debt. Two more. First of all, think about, and again, I want to challenge you to think economically, and sometimes that's hard, but right now, college, and I know I've got a kid in college. My youngest daughter is still going to Mizzou, and I write checks twice a year, and they're not small. What college, if you've had to pay for any college debt recently or any college education recently, you know that college is expensive and it's going up. It dwarfs the rate of inflation. When inflation was at 2% in this country, college tuition costs were going up 12%. It's crazy. It's insane how fast it's going up. So what is the result economically? If we say as a country, when you borrow money to go to college, because all that money doesn't just go into a vacuum, it's going to the universities. That cash, that money that's being borrowed, is being funneled directly into higher education. And when it does, and the debt is so-called forgiven, the university still keeps the money. They're not giving it back. And so by telling people, listen, if you go to college and you don't really need to, if you go to college and get some stupid degree like basket weaving or underwater polo, creek water, underwater polo, that's what you're going to go to college for and pay for a degree. If you're going to do that, all you're doing is giving money to the university. All it tells that university, the forgiveness of those debts, sends the message to the university, we can keep jacking up the prices of our tuition and fees, because at the end of the day, the government's going to pay for it anyway. Nobody's really going to pay these bills. We could charge, it's like the proverbial $600 hammer in the military, or the $1,500 toilet that goes onto a military aircraft. No, they say, oh, who's going to pay that? It's just the government. They're paying for it. People aren't paying for this. And so that's going to increase. That's going to expedite the increase of prices and costs and tuitions and fees at universities across this country, because the only entity responsible to pay that debt is the federal government. And the mistaken belief, my friends, is that the federal government has lots of money. The federal government has no money. The federal government is $30 trillion in debt, my friends. So that is a fallacy. And the final reason why it drives me crazy when I see these student loan so-called forgiveness schemes is this. What does it say as a country when we are increasing our dependence on the federal government? So now, from the left, they want to be healthcare to be socialized, because they say healthcare is a right. And now they want education to be socialized because education is a right. Well, what happens when the left says that housing should be subsidized or socialized because shelter is a right, or driving a car should be socialized and subsidized because driving a car? I mean, where does that end? Where does it end our reliance on the federal government? Here's an idea. Why don't you fight for lowering your taxes? Why don't you fight for increasing jobs in this country and get a very good job and handle it yourself instead of relying on the government to pay all of your bills and to satisfy all of your debts? To me, that this reliance on the federal government is misplaced. So whether you're talking about it from a fairness issue, why should Joe Sixpack, who doesn't have a college degree, be forced to pay taxes towards Dr. Jones's medical degree? Fairness, whether it's that, whether it's number two, you're increasing the problem because you're contributing to the increase of college education costs, or three, whether your reliance on federal government, there is no upside to us as a society to be forgiving, so-called forgiving debts. And yet what happens for the Biden administration? They do it more. And even when the court tells them no, they try to dream up new and inventive ways to give away your money in such a way that hurts everyone. Folks, that's the easiest issue in the world to say. We shouldn't be doing that, and we should reject that as a policy position of our federal government. Hey, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to George Rosenthal. You know George from ThrottleNet. He's going to break down the CrowdStrike computer problem that's not only just affecting banks, it's affecting airlines. It's affecting 97.1 FM talk right now because we can't live stream because of this CrowdStrike. So it's impacting literally services, governments, industry, and businesses all across this country. But we're not going to allow that to happen, folks, because the Annie Fry Show must go on. Brad Young sitting in for Annie Fry today. We'll be right back on 97.1 FM talk.
The life I love is me.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Brad Young in this afternoon, and it's ironic. We're trying to get George Rosenthal on the phone here, but it's ironic that we're going to talk about the CrowdStrike issue because literally as we speak, folks, I want to tell you, I've got two tech guys that are under the tables here at 97.1 trying to repair computers because we have been impacted by the computer glitch. And that's why we're trying to reach out to George Rosenthal now to break that down. But not only if you hear clunking in the background, if you hear people talking in the background, we're literally trying to fix this problem, even as we're going to be talking about the cause of these problems. And you've heard of the infamous blue screen of death. Maybe this morning you saw that blue screen of death, perhaps for the first time. I'm looking at several blue screens of death all around me here in the 97.1 studio. So that's a real thing, and it's a real issue, and it's a real problem. And we will be getting to that as soon as we can get George Rosenthal on the phone. But if you think about right now, the problems that we're having, maybe that even you're having, and I talked about this reliance in the last segment, the reliance that we have, unfortunately, as a country, that we're relying on the federal government to supply all our needs, to pay all our...
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Debts. And yet, at this point, we're kind of reliant on technology to really do anything that we want to do. And right now, that shows our vulnerability. And to break down this vulnerability, to talk about what's exactly happening, I wanted to reach out to George Rosenthal from ThrottleNet. Hey, George, good to talk to you, my friend.
Good to talk to you as well. Thanks so much for having me on. And wow, what a day in technology.
Yeah, I guess this has been a busy day for you, hasn't it?
This has been an absolutely crazy day. Yes, I'm actually talking to you from the KSDK Channel 5 studios right now. We'll be back on the air at 3. It has been quite a day. This is what Elon Musk is even calling this, the largest tech failure in the history of computers.
Wow, that's a big, big, big title here. But let's break it down in case folks don't know exactly what's happening, because I know I've had some people even text me today and talk about a computer hack. But explain the difference between what's happening now and a computer hacking or a virus. How is this different?
This is completely different. So this has nothing to do with hack or cyber attacks or anything like that at all. This is a system, this software called CrowdStrike, is only job, it has a file at the core of every Windows operating machine. And basically, if you're using CrowdStrike, they are putting a file into the very core of your Windows machine operating system. Now, they do updates all the time, software updates, to better improve the security, because this software is simply just scanning your device all the time looking for cyber threats. And if it finds one, it shuts things down, it starts taking care of the problem, it notifies a security operations center in several locations around the world so they can solve the problem. The issue here has nothing to do with the cyber attack. It's that they did a software update, and somewhere along the lines of checks and balances, didn't do the right steps to test this properly and rolled it out globally. So any customer of the 29,000 customers that were using CrowdStrike and the potentially billions of workstations, laptops, and devices that were using this system were completely shut down in the middle of the night because of a software update that was improperly tested.
So it's interesting, George, from my perspective, and again, as you were joining us here, I was mentioning that if folks hear banging in the background here during the interview, it's because we've got techs literally right now in the 97.1 FM Talk studio working to fix computers that have been damaged by CrowdStrike while you and I are talking about the cause of the CrowdStrike problem. So if you hear that clunking, just ignore it. But
it's what's so bad about this, Brad, is that the update is at the core of the operating system. So even when the second you started up and booted up your computer, it went to a blue screen of death. So there was no way to even access the internet to fix the problem remotely. Mm-hmm. This means that every single computer has to be manually touched in order to fix this.
Wow.
So you're talking potentially billions of computers around the world that have to be manually touched. Each one of them, each workstation has to be walked up to and touched by a human being in order to fix this problem. So if you're an airline and you've got thousands of workstations around the world and airports, every one of those terminals has to be touched. If you're a manufacturer, any industry, every computer has to be touched by a technician. So this could take days, if not weeks, to fix on a global level.
And I need to let folks know, just in the interest of full transparency, my law firm is protected by ThrottleNet. So whenever my law firm has tech problems, I call George Rosenthal at ThrottleNet because they take care of my law firm in addition to all other companies. But let's talk about CrowdStrike, because CrowdStrike might be a software that is unfamiliar with people. Isn't this primarily used on an enterprise scale or a business, a corporate networking scale, as opposed to, Joe Sixpack, who's using his computer at home to access his AOL account?
Yes. So primarily, if you're not, you could be a commercial business of any size, and you're using, let's say, a company like ThrottleNet. So the reason you're not affected at your law firm, Brad, is because ThrottleNet doesn't use CrowdStrike. So none of our clients are affected at all by this. But if you have any type of IT support company or your IT department, and they have elected to use CrowdStrike as a tool, a cybersecurity tool, to monitor workstations and endpoints for any type of bad cyber threat, then you're going to be down on any Windows machine that has that installed.
So, what we're seeing today, George, is we're seeing banks, we're seeing airlines, we're seeing businesses. So this is on a corporate level. And this isn't just in the United States either, is it?
No, this is global. It's absolutely global. They have 29,000 customers around the world. This is actually, affecting local hospitals. And now, of course, they're going to take in emergency cases. But if you have a scheduled doctor appointment, you need to call and make sure that that's still on. If you have elected surgeries, I'm sure they're going to be pausing that because the billing systems that run these hospitals and urgent cares are using, CrowdStrike. If they are using CrowdStrike, then they're going to be down until every computer in their organization has been updated or touched. So, yes, this is affecting every vertical industry around the world that is using CrowdStrike.
And talk to us to a moment, George, about the idea of interoperability. In other words, that the way that our computer networks and systems are connected today, that problems in one area can potentially cause problems in another area, even if those other area computers aren't necessarily using CrowdStrike, right?
That's correct. Absolutely. If you have, let's say that you have your own network at a hospital, but you're using a billing system that's done by another vendor that's maybe in the cloud. Well, that vendor in the cloud may be using CrowdStrike, and you may not be using CrowdStrike as a hospital, but now your vendor is down who handles all your billing. So it just depends on how all of that ties together. And the more and more we have computer networks tied together in the world, the more one glitch like this, literally, this is a human error. This is not an organization trying to hack in, but a glitch, a mistake can take down so many computers around the world just because of this system. Now, keep in mind, CrowdStrike's system has one file. It's called a driver file, and that is actually it gets installed at the core of the Windows operating system. So this is not Microsoft's fault. It's not Microsoft's doing, but it is on every single Windows machine that has CrowdStrike's driver installed on it.
We're talking to George Rosenthal. He's the owner and founder of ThrottleNet right here in St. Louis. And George, you mentioned that every computer that's impacted is going to have to be touched in some way to repair this. I'm assuming that part of this is going to have to be done at the corporate level for CrowdStrike in order to come up with a fix, a software patch, to correct the problem that was caused. How long will that take to implement?
Oh, my goodness. It depends. If the organization had a good business continuity and disaster recovery plan in place, that they're going to be in much better shape than if they didn't have a disaster recovery plan. That's why ThrottleNet always encourages every one of our clients has to have a BCDR, a business continuity disaster recovery plan. Those that do have a plan, they're going to go into action with a whole bunch of teams that are going to come in and actually have to touch each computer. And here's why. As soon as the computer boots up, it goes to blue screen. So it can't even go into the Windows operating system before failing. So therefore, it can't talk to the internet. So nothing remote can be done to fix this. Every one of them has to be touched by hand.
Mm.
So based on the numbers, this could be days, if not weeks.
Wow. And, you know, we saw, and you and I on the radio, George, we've talked many times in the past about how companies who are installing malware or viruses or hostage-taking companies have impacted individual companies or even sectors of business. But this is just covering all different types of businesses, and it's globally. So this could actually take some time to repair is what I'm hearing from you.
Oh, absolutely. And what's crazy is that this is not a cyber attack or like somebody trying to get money or any type of malicious group trying to go after somebody. This literally is a vendor, CrowdStrike, that sold their product to so many people that if one mistake happens, you're now affecting 29,000 customers that all have thousands of endpoints, meaning workstations, laptops, Surface tablets, whatever it may be.
Got it.
But when you multiply that out on one vendor, it's absolutely unbelievable when one simple mistake happens like that, what can actually occur.
Staggering. George Rosenthal with ThrottleNet, I know you've got to get KSDK back up and running, so I'm going to let you get back to that, my friend, and thank you for taking time to talk to us today here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thanks so much, Brad. Talk to you soon.
Great to talk to you, George. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more on the Annie Fry Show. Brad Young sitting in today, 97.1 FM Talk.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Brad Young sitting in today with Ryan Wiggins. And before we get to that topic that Ryan teased a moment ago, I did want to tell you, in one of the techs that's working here in the office in the 97.1 studio brought up a question that I was ready to talk about it after the break anyway. And that is, can you imagine right now with banks, airlines, studios, radio stations, TV stations, think about all the lost revenue that's happening now because of the negligence of CrowdStrike. This is going to be the Lawyers Full Employment Act. I'm telling you right now, attorneys across the globe are going to get rich off of this because of all the potential liability. I just hope CrowdStrike has very, very, very good insurance and very, very, very good lawyers, because they're gonna need it after this.
Okay, so does CrowdStrike get sued, or does Microsoft own CrowdStrike? Yep. Is that how that works?
What do the guys say? I didn't know that. CrowdStrike is actually owned by Microsoft. I saw the CEO and founder of CrowdStrike on this morning talking on NBC about it. But
deep pockets is what I'm hearing here.
Right now you may see Microsoft trying to separate itself from CrowdStrike. And I certainly don't know what the corporate relationship there is. But I will tell you that the litigation from this will be massive and global. It's not just a U.S. problem. It's global, and certainly companies that use this or operate on a global basis. I can't even begin to calculate the damages because my calculator doesn't go that high. So we will.
But you're willing to try.
I'm absolutely willing to try for the 33% fee. You betcha. Well, and as my wife always likes to say, it's always good when the lawyers get paid. That's my wife saying, Carol Young.
You know what? My wife never says that.
She doesn't?
Nuh-uh.
My wife says
must be a your wife thing.
It's like a weekly thing at my house. So that's a good thing. I'll tell you what's not a good thing for the president, and that is the latest legal strategy by Hunter Biden.
This is incredible. I can't believe that nobody has reported on this.
It just happened yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably why.
So I gotta lay the foundation here. You remember that on Monday of this week, Judge Eileen Cannon, in the documents case down in South Florida, she rendered a decision stating that under Articles 1 and 2 of the Constitution that require from the Appointments Clause of the Constitution that all appointments of officers have to be made and ratified by the Senate, and for all appropriations that are given for those officers, it has to come from Congress. And she correctly pointed out that the Senate has never approved Jack Smith, never the advice and consent clause. That was never done with Jack Smith as a special prosecutor. And secondly, the money that he was being paid to do those services was never appropriated by Congress. Therefore, it's unconstitutional. The indictment is dismissed and the case is over.
The correct decision, in your opinion.
The absolute correct decision. Yeah. Now, I'm maybe 45% sure that's going to withstand an appeal. I'm slightly more concerned that it could be overturned on appeal.
Okay.
But I'm about 45% there. The reason why I have to lay that foundation is because now Hunter Biden is challenging, he's filed documents challenging the appointment of the special prosecutor to prosecute him using the exact same legal strategy that was successfully used by Trump's legal team.
Now, wait a minute. I thought his dad, the president of the United States, didn't like this ruling.
He didn't. In fact, the president came out, said it was atrocious, said it was terrible, said it violated. It shows how so often the judges are in the tank for the Trump team. And so he's at the moment that President Biden is lambasting the decision of Judge Cannon in Florida, President Biden's son is using the exact same legal strategy to try to get his conviction overturned.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, as an attorney, some legal questions about this.
I
know there's a term floating out there called like ex post facto or
ex
something.
Ex post facto.
There we go.
Ex, not ix.
I mean, it's all Latin to me. if Hunter Biden's case has already been decided.
Yes.
But I'm assuming is in appeal. Is that where that's at?
Correct.
Does that mean that he really can use this in the appeal? Or is it like, no, your case has already been decided, but Trump's hasn't. So it applies more to Trump's than to Hunter Biden's.
Okay. You know what? You've asked a better question than you even know that you asked.
That's
actually a great question, Ryan. And let me tell you why. Normally, let me break this down. Normally, when you file an appeal of a case, I've done many of these. When you file an appeal, you go to trial, there's some kind of a decision or award, and you file an appeal. You only get to argue on appeal what was brought before the judge in the trial.
Okay.
And you have to argue the judge erred, and that's the correct way to pronounce the word, not erred, but erred.
Okay.
That's the absolute correct way. Trust me on that. The judge erred in this manner because he or she did this, made that decision. So, for example, in the Judge Mershon case, we can say that the judge erred by allowing Stormy Daniels to testify. The judge erred by allowing the jury to decide which other crimes Trump may have committed in conjunction with the document, the fraudulent documents in that case. So that's what's on appeal. But there are exceptions to that rule. One of the exceptions is that the entire foundation of the case is invalid. And so that's what they can argue on appeal, that the entire indictment was unconstitutional, because the courts have ruled consistently constitutional issues can be raised at any time.
Okay.
You can raise them for the first time on appeal if you want. So they can raise that constitutional issue by saying the prosecuting attorney, I believe his name was Weiss, was unconstitutionally appointed and unconstitutionally funded, and therefore the entire conviction should be thrown out. That's something they can't argue on appeal.
So what you're telling me is Hunter Biden actually has a case here by using the South Florida judge's decision.
Absolutely. Now, it's not what we call precedent, okay? Because this was done in a federal court in Florida, and Delaware, where Hunter Biden was convicted, prosecuted and convicted, is in a different federal district.
Okay.
So they can't cite to it as saying, because Judge Cannon did this, Now, court, you must do this. They can't do that, but they can use the same legal argument to see if it gets traction in Delaware like it did in Florida.
So let me move from legal fact into legal opinion now, because this is probably really murky. Does this now complicate the decisions that would be from here on out? Because if it were a purely political motivated special counsel, which we've been saying the whole time.
Yes.
Does this complicate that for the Democrats, whether they be Joe Biden or whoever, because now they'd have to argue for the opposite side? Does this complicate their political argument?
You know, I don't think it does. And here's the reason why. And I don't mean this in a negative way, and I don't mean it in a condescending way. But I don't know that the average consumer of mainstream media news is going to appreciate what we've just talked about over the last few minutes.
Nobody appreciates us.
And nobody does. In fact, in my house, not appreciated, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
unless you're bringing home lawyer money.
Unless I'm bringing home lawyer money, yeah. And then the appreciation goes up. But no, but seriously, but they can still complain rhetorically that Judge Cannon was in the tank for President Trump, not knowing that that the president himself, President Biden himself, is undermining their own argument through the acts of his son. So they're not going to, I don't know that they're going to appreciate that, but you're right. Logically, anytime the left now attacks Judge Cannon and a judge and says she's in the tank for Trump, they're really saying that the whole idea they're countermandering their own arguments because Hunter Biden is using the exact same legal argument.
So,
and it's not the first time, because remember, the Supreme Court ruled in I believe it was in 2011 in Heller versus New York that people have a constitutional right to carry a gun. In the lower level courts, Hunter used that argument to say he had a right to buy the pistol, even though he was high on cocaine at the time he bought it. So this isn't the first time that Hunter has been using legal arguments on the right to support and to try to defend the legal accusations against him.
I just wonder, after talking about this, not only what this means for the Trump case, because I'm sure you have all kinds of facts that you could share about that, but also what this means for Joe Biden at this moment. You know, people have said, I think Annie says pretty often, one of the reasons that she thinks Joe Biden would maybe not leave office, because so he could become not the candidate, but still stay the president. Mm-hmm. That's very possible, is that he wants to pardon Hunter. He's waiting for these things to go through because he wants to pardon his son. So I wonder if that is a big part of his decision-making process, possibly right now.
Well, it could be, but I looked at it like this. I do think President Biden's gonna pardon Hunter. I believe that's going to happen. And if he's on the ticket, there's a lot of assumptions here.
Mm-hmm.
If we assume that Biden's on the ticket in November and he loses, then he could certainly pardon Hunter in December or January before he leaves office.
Right.
If he decides he's not going to run for re-election, it becomes more problematic for him if Kamala Harris is on the ticket in November, because then he has to take the unfavorable position of pardoning his own son and then having the negative blowback affect Kamala Harris when she comes into office.
Ah, yes. Yes.
So, but then, as we talked about in the couple of segments ago, we're not even sure Kamala Harris is going to be on the ticket in November.
Yeah, gosh, it's a crazy time, and I'm glad that you're tuning into 97.1, because obviously we're going to keep covering these things. We're going to cover it this weekend too. And we promise you, if anything happens, we are ready to roll. You know, we do some paid programming on the weekend, but we're going to be at the ready if anything breaks this weekend to cover it live. So the minute if you're like, oh my gosh, you're getting texts like last weekend.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
yes.
We had to really scramble to get everything live and back up and running, which we did as quickly as we could. So I'm glad that we did, because I listened to us that day too, because I was on the road. But we're all bracing for it this weekend, so you can come here for that news.
Right, and think about how surreal right now that things are, that we're going to go potentially in a period, if something happens this weekend with President Biden, and I mean not something like dastardly, but like he steps down from the ticket, that is exactly 1 week from the attempted assassination of his opponent.
Yeah.
So within a week or 10 days, we could go from having one candidate facing the reality of being assassinated to the other candidate stepping down from the candidacy and stepping down from the ticket. And look at it historically. Remember how shocking it was in the 60s when President Johnson decided he wasn't going to run for re-election. We're still seeing that over and over and over on history channels and newsreels. We're going to be living this. So we're not just going to be living through for the rest of our lives seeing that video of Trump being shot in the ear, but we could potentially be living through seeing for the very few, doesn't happen very often, a presidential contender stepping down from the ticket.
Yeah, this will be if it happens, it might be an actual open convention, which we've never seen in our lifetime. They've always been very planned. They used to be that way.
Very, very
planned.
Now they're not. Very planned. Hey, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we've got more of the Annie Fry Show coming up. After the top of the hour break, we're going to be talking more about news and fun and everything you want to be staying tuned for next on the Annie Fry Show.
Annie Fry Show. Fulfill the prophecy, be something great. Go make a legacy, manifest destiny. Back in the days we won.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.